Yo, yo, yo. Welcome back to another episode of the Winwin Effect Show presented by Winject Studios. Today, great day. As you see, I have my two favorite Georgia boys and the architects of Winject Studios, the website and Hustle Machine podcast show just came taking over right now, which that's pretty amazing to watch. But I got, if you're watching this, we have Mr. Zach Tatum over in the right-hand corner. In the bottom, we have Jason Marlowe. What's up, guys?
Hey, man. How's it going?
Hey, man, your intro, the bass on that thing is thumping, man. I love it.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
Who's your hair? Who's your hair? Like, doom,
doom, doom. I was going for that, man. You know, actually, did that. Do you know who did the music for the Winwin Effect?
Do you know who did it?
This Nina's son. And he's actually a producer, music producer for, he's got Busta Rhymes stuff that he's going.
Oh, wow.
Like, yeah, he's legit, bro.
We need to talk to him about maybe doing some Hustle Machine for season two.
That he's got the beats, bro. If you actually follow him, it's 94 The Genius. If anybody's listening to this, 94 The Genius, go to Instagram, you'll find him. He's always live, bro. It's like playing crazy music. And if you want to have a good day, just watch one of his lives. It's like you're just having a ball, man. He made me a playlist to work out to, and I think that I probably shouldn't do that because I'll be so sore the next day after every time I listen to a playlist. But guys, welcome to the show, man. I'm really excited to finally do, you know, this interview. It's been a long time coming, and there's a lot of things that have been moved on behind the scenes, you know, with Winject and also with your show, and got some crazy stuff going on. And you guys, like, working together as one, like a two-headed monster, right? And I guess what, you know, it's actually something where it's really inspiring for some people out there that want to run companies and they feel like they have to do it as solo, and they're not willing enough to have somebody right next to them that can take on the other piece of, I guess, workload or their zone of genius and work together as one. And you guys do it like really well. I mean, would you guys agree to that? I mean, has it always been that way? Because I mean, you're college friends. Behind,
I thought you almost said sweethearts, and I was like, "Please say sweethearts."
No, I mean, I should have. That'd have been funny. I'm like, not those type of kissing cousins. You know what I mean? Like, from Georgia, not that from that part of Georgia.
That's Alabama, bro.
That's Alabama.
That was funny. That's great.
Yeah.
We've always worked well together. Yeah. Always. But yeah, I mean, we have our moments. It's not always unicorns sunshine and rainbows. we have our moments.
It's not all sunshine and rainbows.
But the thing is one of the things that I feel like me and Jason are good at is we say our peace of mind and then we move on. It's like we learn from it and then we move on. And it's not one of those things where it's a grudge at all. Like, there's never a grudge that's being held. But I think that makes a massive difference in working with somebody and running a company together. Because you're going to have those moments where you don't agree, you butt heads, which we do often. I want to do it my way. He wants to do it his way. And it's more of like we just have a conversation and we compromise and it works well.
Yeah. Mm. You know, we ran our company Market House, which we do marketing, websites, all that stuff. We ran the business as a freelance side hustle. So we always said, like, we have our 9 to 5 and then Market House is our 5 to 9. Right. So like we were
more
always
like five to two in the morning.
Yeah. I mean, it was, we were going as hard as we could with the side business for a really long time. So what, like 6 years, 6, 7 years, something like that.
We ran it as a side hustle.
Cause we had this goal. We're like, yeah, we're going to just build it up until, like, we don't need our 9 to 5 anymore. And then there really never was that like tipping point that allowed us to do that. And so we eventually just jumped. But, you know, there was a lot of times where, you know, Zach would be super busy on a project and like stressed out. And then like I would be finishing something up. And so I would be able to come in and help him on something. And then like it was waves and valleys and mountains and however you want to use the phrasing, but you know, he would be super busy and I would not be busy. And then I would be super busy and he would not be busy. So it always seemed to kind of balance out. And so we were never completely burned out. Like we were working hard and we were tired, but it always seemed to balance. And that's good with the two-person team. I mean, that's a great insight.
Right. Also, and I think because, you know, definitely you have different temperaments, you know, and I picked up on that when we very first met. I mean, you have different styles and even the way that you would speak. I think I saw you on a live on Winjet TV the other day, and you were talking about people saying that Jason was confrontational. I just think he's opinionated. You know what I mean? He's got a lot of opinion. He's going to say what's on his mind. And I think that's a great trait to have, especially in entrepreneurship, because most people, when they get an executive level or get to a director's level, it doesn't really matter, obviously, the capacity, right? But when they get there, they're like, oh, maybe I shouldn't say that. I'm going to piss off my friend, or I'm going to piss off my co-founder. You know, I'm like, well, I don't really give a shit what you think, because here's my opinion. You know what I mean? I think it's great. I don't know. I thought that was pretty good.
I think I've one tier down from crazy outspoken. But I mean, I do feel like I say what I want to say, because otherwise, you know, like, I think we might have talked about this. I don't know if it was on our podcast or if it was just on one-on-one, but you know, if you don't speak up in a meeting or a conversation, like if you have an idea and you don't ever let it out, well, it's never going to be anything.
Right.
And it's eventually just going to be somebody else's idea. You know, and then you're just going to brood about it, and you're going to be angry, and you're going to be bitter, and you're going to have resentment. So like, why not just speak your mind? You can be polite about it, but like, why not just speak your mind every once in a while and get it out? And you can eventually probably have a good product. Right. And at the end of the day, you spoke your mind, at least, you know, even if it was crap.
Yeah. But then, you have those people who, you talk to and you share your idea and they say, no, it's a bad idea. And then they go behind you and share that idea, and they totally stole your idea.
Oh, I've seen that before. That has happened a lot. Actually. Oh,
happened to Zach Beck. Yeah. That was your MO. You're like, hey, I've got a great idea.
My idea.
I would see people do that. And I know that when I'm making an impact and I'll be in a meeting and I'll say something and they're like, oh, I don't really like that idea. And then they'll post something the same type of, I'm like, you.
Yeah. Wait a minute. That is a great idea.
That was my idea.
Yeah.
You fucking ass clown. You know, so that's what I think. I don't say, but anyways, I see that a lot. I mean, also with, you know, especially guys, what you do, you know, with Market House, which these, and just for everybody to understand, I've been around a lot of like tech people, and, you know, just the style and the website and also the speediness of completion ratios. And even Zach, I think, obviously really helped out with this, is coming with a punch list and keeping it organized, because it can be a lot of moving parts. And I think, you know, even it is important to mention also, you guys are fathers and great fathers and also husbands to, you know, obviously cool people, are probably the better halves of you guys that, yeah, allow you to live the life that you live and wanting to live a better quality of life. And I think that's something that a lot of people don't talk about in a lot of shows, is juggling being a dad and juggling being a husband and juggling obviously working, you know, in a corporation, a lot of different types of things, making an impact in the world. So I think that's something that, you know, we definitely need to actually have a conversation about, right? Hard that is to juggle.
That's what Hustle Machine, that's kind of what birthed Hustle Machine for us is.
Yeah,
we're not going to name any names. We don't want to toss anybody out there. But we had a tough conversation. One time we were at a conference. Long story short, we got to go backstage and speak to one of the prominent keynote speakers, all about a lot of hustle culture. That was that's their big shtick for a lot of what they do. And the conversation came up where we were able to kind of talk to this person, and we asked them, you know, here's where we're at with our side hustle. What's your recommendation? Like, where should we go from here? And they basically like laid it out of, you got to give up your time, your weekends, your family, your friends, everything for as long as it takes till you get there. And, you know, at first me and Jason were like, okay, well, this is what we got to do. And so
you're drinking from the hose because you're new at the, you're new at it and you don't know, you don't know any different. Yeah. Right. So it's like all the books that we read, we're like, oh, well, this person wrote a book. They're able to thread together thoughts. Okay, we'll just listen to what they have to say.
Mm-hmm. Right. If you read between the lines, you can see the ghostwriter, right, of it. So it's all full of shit. But yeah, but I see what you mean. I mean, when you first get started, you want to take advice from people that you feel that are competent enough to give you that advice.
Right.
However, they don't know your personal situation and they don't know obviously your truest gifts. You know what I mean? So when you're giving that type of advice to younger entrepreneurs, you have to say, I always say this phrase at the beginning, it depends. Mm-hmm. And it really does depend on a lot of different, obviously, components and variables when you're trying to make the right pivots when it comes to entrepreneurship, because entrepreneurship is fucking difficult. You know what I mean? I'm not one of those people to ever say, oh, this is easy. If you have a high income skill, and no, this stuff is difficult. Oh,
you don't have an online course that walks you through the five easy steps.
No, because I'm an ass clown. No, I don't do that stuff. You know, I mean, if the way I look at this, and I come from course creation, I come from education, and obviously the listeners that, you know, a lot of them, a reason why they're there, because I was training, you know, 15,000 to 17,000, 18,000 people in the States when my show came out.
Yeah.
And then I just fell in love with podcasting. But with course creation, I really feel that these people out there, they're just cashing in and preying off the weak. And I don't like that.
Sure.
And that's something that goes against my core values. And me, I would be a walking, talking fraud if I said, hey, come to this and I'll give you, you know, like the ones, I'll send you the book. You just got to pay for the shipping. They just now went into their ecosystem, bro. Then that you just go down this whole spiral and go down this whole, I don't know, expectation freaking carousel of like emptiness and just paying money out the yin yang for things you don't want or need.
Yeah. I think it's a good marketing ploy for sure. But
if you're helping people, just like,
right. That's what I was going to get at. I mean, I think that if the end product is bad, well, I mean, in their mind, they think it's great, but we, Jason and I, were just against the whole hustle culture in general. And that's what we try to talk about in the show and highlight. We're starting to get into some of those, I guess those myths you could say of what it takes to be what the definition of success is. Right. And you know, there's an episode we're going to be talking about pretty soon. I won't go too far into it, but there's this mindset that because I did it this way means you have to do it this way, and if you don't do it this way, you can't be successful.
True.
I gave up everything that I could to get where I am and look where I'm at. But then it's like, what you don't see is all the bodies you just stepped over, all of the family that you've left behind. Mm-hmm. You have nothing. And as you said just a few minutes ago, you're empty. And so it's like, you may be on top, but you're alone. You're by yourself. And it's like, what was it all for? You know, and the thing is, if you sacrifice all those things, there's no guarantee you're going to be at the top. Mm-hmm. So then you just gave up for all that you can't get back. So what was the point?
I love this. So, Jason, you have anything you want to add to that before I kind of like debunk this whole one? This is a massive. I'm loved that we went here, because this is something that I haven't been able to speak about publicly, and I'm now able to. So go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, I mean, that is the core of the show. I mean, people might go like, you're anti-hustle culture. Why is your show called Hustle Machine? Well, it's a
machine.
Yeah, it's a tongue-in-cheek thing, but it's the whole point is you are the machine, right? So like, you find yourself running yourself ragged, trying to support a side hustle while you're doing a full-time business, growing a family, having friends, trying to have a personal life. And we found that if you just kind of shift your perspective on things and just realize that, you know what, you could probably calm down and not quite go so hard and with the still have same results. And, you know, you might have to sacrifice being at the very top of the mountain, but you might be just a little bit, you might be low, you might be at like LZ2.
Right.
And you're still happy. So it's about finding happiness and balance within your work life. And that's what our show is about completely.
I love that when you were talking about, even with the logos and stuff, and it's everything you do is very strategic. You know, and I love that about your show, even the titles, which has been getting pretty comical as of late. But yeah, I really like that. But just to touch on Zach's comment, and I think it's powerful with, you know, people, you know, compromising their quality of life to get to an end result that it's uncertain.
Yeah,
I will tell you personally, on a personal level, when you get to over exceeding your expectations and you get to a certain spot and then you look back and realize that, damn, I should have did things a little differently with this type of individual or that person in my family, because you don't want to live with regret. And it's really, it's a really unwelcoming type of situation when you can buy anything you potentially want to buy, but you have to beg for the shit you need in life.
Mm.
And that's a
deep man, that's good
comment. And because that's my, I wrote that actually is, I haven't had a book yet, but I've wrote that in my journal. I bet midway through my hardest challenge in my life, when the world shut down and I was in this country and I couldn't get to obviously my young daughter, and it was just horrible. And I could literally, the system's a system, bro. Right. And if I would have did things a little different, I always thought I had more time, you know? And I think that's where a lot of entrepreneurs, they easily try to overextend themselves in business, and they work themselves into the fucking ground. And then they go, man, I didn't even hit my targets anyway. I failed anyway. Like, what was the point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that's to me, that's why this show is so powerful. And if people can really, and it's easy consumable too, is that, you know, you give them 30 to 45 minutes and you're talking and you're giving them something that they can take from and go, okay, maybe I just changed my perspective on this topic. And now that I can go implement something, and those pivots, man, in entrepreneurship, they mean a lot to people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
and what we try to do with Hustle. Oh, go ahead.
I want to throw it in there just because I'm going to lose it if I don't, but I'm going to let you finish. but what you said, Chris, is so perfect. So it's my son, just turned six. He's going through the same thing. He has the same mentality, I guess, as those entrepreneurs who leave a wake of bodies in their path. Mm-hmm. Right. So we've just started to let him play some video games. Right. And so he'll come home from school. He finishes his homework and stuff like that. Yes. He's in kindergarten and has homework. He comes home, he'll finish his homework. He's got like 20, 30 minutes he can play. He'll play. Timer goes off. He starts freaking out. He's like, I didn't get a chance to do everything. I didn't get a chance to do this. I didn't get a chance to do this. I didn't get to finish. I didn't do anything. So that's what he'll say. I didn't do anything. Well, at the end of the day, say that 20 minutes that you just play video games, say that 20 minutes is your life. Why would you get to the end of that doing the thing that you thought you wanted to do, but at the end of the day, you look back and be like, I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
I didn't have those relationships that I wanted. I let those relationships that I tried to grow, I let them burn because I had something that was more important, I thought, you know? And so that's the whole point we try and get at. I mean, yeah, we might have funny episodes where we talk about rotisserie chicken at Costco and just random stuff.
But I like to listen to
ugly brain babies.
Yeah. So like we do talk about random things. Banter is part of our thing just because we've been friends for so long. But at the gist of it, at the core of every episode and our whole mission with Hustle Machine is to try and build community around people who are trying to hustle. And to your point earlier, not hustle alone. You know, you don't have to be alone. You can be in a peer group, just like what you're doing with WinJack. You know, so it's growing with things that matter as a top focus, as a priority focus. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Zach, you can finish now.
No, to piggyback on that,
I mean,
yeah, it's okay. I feel like Taylor Swift now. you can call me Tay Tay from now on. I had a family member who, getting older, he is very sick. And one of the things he said recently was when he worked very hard. And he says, when I look back, I sacrificed a lot of time with family. And now where I'm at now, I'm sitting with my memories, and my memories aren't the memories I want. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't with his kids and it wasn't with family. It was, I'm working all these long hours, and I'm always that's the memories he's pulling back from. And it's kind of like that resonates with me a lot. And, because that's not what I want. I don't want to get at the end of this and, push really hard for Market House and push really hard for Hustle Machine, but my family gets pushed to the side. So we work from home intentionally. We don't have an office. It's intentional so that we can walk out our door and see our kids. We can finish and go to events that we want to go to with the kids. Because that's the things they're going to remember. Because I don't want them 100%. To remember, dad was always behind the door. You know what I mean? Like, he was always behind the door. Always working. That was it. So that's kind of like what Hustle Machine kind of is.
And you don't have to be a parent. Like, you don't have to be like a parent to, to watch the show and to appreciate it, but it does put everything into a perspective. When family is a concern, and, but you know, it's, it can be about friends, you know, it can be about relationships that you just have like one-on-one that you worry that you're not fostering enough because you're so consumed with yourself and your own personal goals. So,
But the other goal with Hustle Machine wasn't to just talk about anti-hustle culture. It was honestly, it was also to form a community of other entrepreneurs, because as you know, Chris, you can relate to this, that entrepreneurship is very lonely. It can be very, very lonely, where people just don't understand what you're dealing with and the struggles that you are battling, that are abnormal to the average person who goes to their 9-to-5. We've been in both worlds. We've experienced both worlds. And I can tell you, I've heard other entrepreneurs say this before, but I didn't really understand it until you're in it. And then when you're in it, you're like,
yeah, it's kind of like one of those things when you're immersed into it. It's like, I was listening to, a podcast the other day, and they talked about, I can't, it was Wanda Sykes. She was saying something funny, and she was like, you know, if you are in a room full of shit, it stops smelling eventually. And think about that for a second. You so when you're in it. When you're in the game and you're immersed into whatever you're zoned in on, and you got tunnel vision, you don't, you're in that situation so much that you go, listen, I don't even see the missed opportunities. I don't see as a husband, or it could be a, you know, whatever, right? Brother, I'm not investing enough time to have a deep, impactful, meaningful conversations with individuals and feeling like I'm there and present. That was the biggest thing for me that I had to learn through my entrepreneurial journey. I was in sales, and even to this day, if I hear a phone ring, it gives me anxiety, because that was, you know, but I was always going. I took a phone. I took a sale. Well, it's like, you know, it was a pretty big one. It's like $70,000, about to walk down an aisle. Okay. That lets you know that what I was focused on, because at the end of the day, I was like, I got to make it. I got to do this and I do this. And, but I've shifted gears now to where if it doesn't bring me happiness, bro, I don't do it. I just don't now, you know, and, you know, building WinJet and coming, this is a passion project of mine. This wasn't something that I had to do, felt like I needed to do, but I saw a major gap in the marketplace where people are praying off the week, and that really drives me insane. And I love the fact that, you know, commend you guys on this of, you know, helping me, you know, flesh out my idea, right, on even WinJet and a couple areas of opportunity. And now it's taken, you know, it's taken a year to even on that aesthetic side that I thought it would take me 2 more months. And I was like, well, I kept pulling back the, I guess you would say, the reins on this and going, all right, let me stop for a second. There's another area of an opportunity, but at some point you're just going to have to move. And now's the time. And I'm really excited to watch you guys flourish from, you know, even all the hard work that you invested, even on just the beginning phases of WinJet.
Well, what the thing is, one thing you just said was that you appreciated us coming alongside you and fleshing out your idea, right? That's one of the things we love about Market House. And that's one of the things that Jason can attest to this. I love startups, love them. Like, nothing gets me more excited than to talk to somebody about their startup and just to hear, because there's a passion there that, especially at the very beginning, there's like this extreme passion and drive, and there's all these ideas that are flying through their head, and that part excites me. And one of the things about Market House is we've always said, we're not just the type of business or website development company that just builds your website and then says, see ya, good luck. That's why we have the marketing side of things. We want to see your business grow. We don't want to just be that one time, you know, handshake, one night stand, sign the deal, and then move on. Like, we want to have a partnership. We want to have a relationship and continue that on into the future.
We don't want to be a one night stand. We want to be your clingy girlfriend.
There you go.
She's a stay five clinger. There.
If your business grows,
that's
what we want to see.
That's a great
movie. Anyways,
I could quote that all day long.
Yeah, we call me and my wife quote that all the time.
Well, if, like, I think
kids are trying to track us down, and we're like, I will find you.
I'll find you. But I think this is why, you know, we really meshed well when we met for the first time, because I probably saw the excitement in my face, but then you probably saw that there was a lot of things that I still needed to get out. And, you know, with you guys, obviously there's a lot of synergetic energy where in that extra touch point. So I'm not going to mention the Dale Murphy bobblehead. That was a nice touch too. So, and you know, and I think that when you learn a lot about individuals, when you spend more time with them, if you're present enough to have deep, impactful conversations, and you can easily be another website people that I went and kind of had to contact with. Well, we'll do this. We'll do this. Here, we'll do this. We'll do this. 70K. And then, you know, none of the shit works. So I appreciate that. I appreciate the openness and the willingness to even hearing out my ideas. Right. I mean, that's you don't see that a lot in business, in my opinion.
Yeah. We try to do things a little bit differently as best we can.
Right. You've done a lot of other stuff too. And I want to kind of talk about that for a second. Even for the merchandise side, you know, which, you know, obviously we're going to be working a little bit more in depth on trying to figure out that idea for Winject. But there's you being an illustrator and having that type of, you know, background and creative mind, that's a unique talent, right, to have. And a lot of times when you're an illustrator, you're a person that does things like that, you kind of get taken advantage of. Where, especially buying, oh, I want you to do this for free. I'm like, what the? This is not cool. That's a hard game to be in.
Yeah, we just had an episode about that the other day, I think, where we talked about like how to price yourself, how to do work, you know, how to do work for others.
Should you do it for exposure?
Yeah, should you do it for exposure? We did a reel on that. It's actually going pretty well on Instagram. But to your point, Chris, yes, I'm an illustrator. I've got my own side hustle. I had a side hustle before we launched our business. I have a whole design and apparel line called Doodle Toots.
Doodle Toots.
Doodle Toots. Yeah, like you can't see it, but down here I have like all this merch and stuff. But yeah, I mean, that was one of the inspirations for starting Hustle Machine as well. And I think we talked about it. We talked about it in that same episode that I was just mentioning. But when I was alone working as an illustrator, doing t-shirts and things like that, I always worked in a vacuum. Like I would shop my designs to my wife and be like, hey, what do you think of this? And, you know, she would give me some feedback. Or I wouldn't ask for any feedback and I would just roll with it. And that, you know, that was okay. But this is probably about 3 or 4 years ago. I had tried it about 8 or 9 years before that, probably around the time we first got married, and I burned out. Couldn't do it. Couldn't sustain it. I was working a full-time job at the time, but I was also trying to build up my illustration career. I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it alone. But I didn't think of it. I didn't think that was, you know, the reason at the time. I didn't have a community around me. And so flash forward to a couple of years ago, I was like, you know what? I'm going to give this illustration thing. I'm going to give it another try. So I rebranded myself, became Doodle Toots, my illustrator persona.
Which is and, a cool name.
yeah, it's like, let's see. While we're having, for the sake of this conversation, I'm going to put my...
Yeah, that's good. Here you go.
I'm going to put my Doodle Toots hat on and I'll take it off.
Brands are flying everywhere right now. They're just flying everywhere. We got Hustle Machine in the background, Doodle Toots.
Yeah, oh, sorry. Here, I'll do this.
We're going to make my hat, bro. FOMO's a mofo. You know what I mean?
I have a note over here. I just haven't done it.
FOMO's a mofo. Anyways, sorry.
But no, when I was building it, I was alone. Mm-hmm. And so flash forward to a couple years ago, I rebranded myself. And I started working in this community, and then I found a couple of other artists that I just kind of vibed with. And then we ended up starting a group chat. And then we added some people to that group chat. And then lo and behold, this community that was kind of like dead and not really thriving started to grow as well. Not just because of me, but because we were making a concerted effort to connect.
Yeah, the collective impact. Yeah.
And it's growing and it's thriving and it's exciting because I didn't burn out. I haven't. It's a weekly submission thing that we do in this community, and I haven't missed a week in almost 4 years.
Oh, that's dope.
And it's because I have accountability. It's not. Mm-hmm. There's nobody saying like, "Hey, don't miss this week," but when you are feeling kind of burned out and you're like, man, I got nothing. I literally have nothing. You know, you just chit chat, just talking, just changing the subject and having a conversation with people to get your mind off of it. And then somebody shares a design and you're, you know what? Mm-hmm. They were really burned out a couple months ago and I pushed them to keep going. And now they're doing the same thing to me. Mm-hmm. And that it was one of the kind of nexus events for me personally, wanting to get on this mission where we worked with you at Winject and where we started Hustle Machine to build community, because that to me is the pinnacle. That is right. The most important thing is having relationships and building community mm-hmm. and growing together.
It is. How that's possible is called recyclable energy. You have other you know, vessels there that you can recycle energy to be able to pull from when you are not feeling it. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's probably the most important thing when it comes to entrepreneurship, or even if you're, it doesn't matter. Like that's why going on tour or going, even when you're playing basketball and you're going on the road, I mean, you develop that camaraderie and you can develop more impactful relationships and you know who to go to and to pick you up and sometimes a spark and whatever that might be. But when you're alone by yourself, burnout city.
Yeah.
Game over.
Facts.
And that was the purpose and the premise behind, you know, trying to, and it took a while to get it to where it's at right now, where things are starting to open up. And even with the new type of system, I wouldn't say system, the new type of flow of the mm-hmm. website, and you know, where we have, it looks like it says record. It's like register, engage, and you know, obviously create. I mean, you don't have to create as a original show of Winject, but you can create in a lot of different ways. We have, you know, illustrators, we have music producers, we have fitness people. I mean, it doesn't matter like what you want to do. It's like content creation can, we just want to change the way that that's being created and how it's going to be distributed and right. being distributed within a community where synergetic space and also recyclable energy, sky's the limit for you. I mean, could be something. Yeah. I mean, how many times have you, Jason, you probably had an opportunity to cross your desk and you couldn't do it and you probably gave it to one of your community members, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, for sure. I know I've sent off different illustration projects. Like, I'm just like, you know what? I don't have time for this. Have time for this, but I know who would be a perfect person for that. And that's what it's all about. So like mm-hmm. for us, for creating our community specifically, our focus is let's get entrepreneurs connected. Let's mm-hmm. let's connect.
Yeah.
Right. No strings attached. We just want to have conversations. And then step two is to find experts in those fields. So for like the same reason, right? So for the same reason that you as an entrepreneur are wanting someone to work with you because you are an expert in what you do, for the same reason you want that, we want somebody to look at us and go, oh, well, they're the website and marketing guys. We want to work with them. But I'm not going to, at the end of the day, I want to run my business well. I don't really want to do, say, accounting, for example. Like, I want to have an expert in that to be able to speak up in the community and be like, you know what? This is my advice. This is where I would go. And we want, you know, like-minded entrepreneurs who are experts in their own fields to be able to have conversations and to have everyone grow together. That synergy mm-hmm. that you're talking about.
Yeah. I when you were talking just then, and I'm not trying to, man, I kind of was like, when you were talking, I didn't want to, maybe I shouldn't do it, but I'm gonna do it anyway. Okay. Fuck it. All right. So there's a mutual contact that obviously we know, right, at the beginning of this. And mm-hmm. when you don't have a community with trust-minded individuals, and the reason why I say trust-minded individuals, they have the scarcity, I guess you would say, mindset and I guess vibe of themselves because they don't live an abundant life. And it just so happens that I had to cross something the other day, and I saw something, and people are saying that they're, you know, out there doing massive impact and making change in the world and creating change. And I see that you work at a fucking car wash. You know what I mean? So it's you know. Eventually, at some point, people show you who they are through time in that community, you know, and it doesn't matter where, but if they had really good people around them that could lift them up, they wouldn't have to obviously be in that type of situation and be open to communicate what's really happening in their life, if that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah. So how many times have you seen that where people are trying to be, I guess they're perceiving themselves and trying to project themselves out there in a world of being somebody they're not.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know that they're trying to keep their lights on. Do you see my point?
Yeah. You know, there's a difference between, and I feel like Zach, you want to jump hard, but I think there's a difference between
that. I saw him light up when I said it.
Yeah. He was like, you take a deep breath. You take a deep breath while I started to talk. I was like, okay, let's get it out.
I was like, oh, but here like, you go.
I'll say this and I'll let you jump, but there's a difference between faking it till you make it and then just being completely fake.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
There's a difference because early on, when we were trying to get jobs, we would be like, yeah, of course we know how to code on that language on that website. Sure. Yeah. Okay. We get
to everything.
YouTube. Oh, okay.
That reel the other day was the shit.
Okay. Now I know it, you know? And so it's like you do like this, like the matrix style download to try and learn everything. Mm-hmm. That's different than going out and projecting that you're one way when in reality that you're not.
Yeah.
And Zach, you take it away.
The thing that makes me sick to my stomach, and it's very prevalent these days, is when you get into the coaching world or consulting world, and you create products that aren't thought out all the way through, and you're selling them for thousands and thousands of dollars, and then not fulfilling that on your end, or halfway doing it. Like Jason said, you can fake it till you make it for sure. But there's one thing of faking it and then not having the, what you call it, the product or the service that backs
it up. There's
no
follow through. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no follow through.
You got to have success ratios. The success ratios, I mean, that's where I come from, obviously, in education space. When people go to use their FAFSAs, they go to use their government funding for a specific trade, we would have to fulfill on that order. So if they go for, I don't know, surgical technology, okay, and becoming a surge tech, they would, if they're 400 pounds and they can't be on their feet more than like 4 hours, and then we try to place them in a job, we're actually doing them a disservice and enrolling them into surge tech. You see my point? So, and that's where I see a lot of these entrepreneurs or course creators or whatever you want to call them. I don't know. I call them ass clowns. But when they create something that they know for sure that this type of client isn't the right fit, but they're enrolling them because they're trying to take, obviously, extract the money from them or whatever it is for a cost of good. And they go and they apply the scarcity tactics. It drives me insane. Buy now on this limited freaking product. You know what I mean? And for a limited time only. I mean, like, it's not going away. They're just going to put a different label on it. You see my point?
Yeah.
So
And
it really drives me insane when I do see things like that, because they don't have the end in mind.
Yeah.
Like, what are they getting? What are they actually getting from this?
Sure.
And that's a question you have to ask yourself.
There's a particular person I have in mind that is he's the epitome of fake it till you make it. And I'll watch this person on social media, and it's honestly at this point, it's sad because I'm in a position where I kind of know some things about this person that it's heartbreaking to watch some of it. Mm-hmm. And you're kind of like, man, you just want to shake them and be like,
Stop.
Well, it's like you want to be like, just be real. Like things would be so much better if you were just real. Like you might not.
That's a strength too. When you finally do it.
Yeah.
It's a strength.
Yeah. You might not be hitting that goal that you want to hit as fast as you are, but you know what? As soon as you're real, I feel like your spirit can breathe and like you can actually get some stuff done, you know?
Carrying a lot of weight that you shouldn't be carrying, right? Yeah. I mean, it's going to weigh you down. Think about it that way. So if I'm carrying a lot of weight that it's not mine, then I can't release, you know? Yeah. It's like,
I think
you're holding up a fraud. You're holding up an illusion. that is, and if you're saying that you're trying to change lives and you're trying to help people and you really want to do that, well, you need to follow through with yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I think we've said it on before on the show before of, you know, people can see show. When you're, no, not yours. No, not, a, well, we've said it on, kidding, I think kidding. We've said it on Hustle Machine. And I think we've actually said it on the lives on Winjack before mm-hmm. at some point. So this is nothing new, but, people can sense when you're faking it. They can mm-hmm. sense it. Like,
yeah.
People so can see through. Right through that. Yeah. Like, well, it's not, I think you can tell when somebody's forcing something. Mm-hmm. When it's genuine, you can see it, and when you're faking it, you can see it. Like mm-hmm. when people don't walk the walk that they're preaching from, then
yeah,
you will see it. It will happen. Yeah. Like it's
we've got to be present enough to be able to identify. I mean, mm-hmm. That's one of the things that I love about those type of situations that I read energy fluently, you know, and mm-hmm. when I know when the vibe's off, something's off. Like, why are they pushing this hard for this angle? Like, I don't understand. I mean,
yeah.
if you put people in a position where they can't tell you no, you're always going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, be open to other possibilities and other situations and other things, right? I mean, I see it more in the coaching or self-help space. And I feel that the self-help space, 90% of it is bullshit, right? Everything's been regurgitated. I mean, everything's been like reset and redone. And, you know, I mean, I don't like some of the books that now today, I read a lot of psychology books, but I read a lot of also other stuff that obviously piques my curiosity and different looking at different waypoints, viewpoints. Mm-hmm. But when I'm reading a book, the whole like first three chapters are convincing me of why I bought the damn book in the first place.
Yeah. Like,
what is this? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I know that sure. I know that you read a lot of books as well and consume a lot of content. But for the listeners out there, what are some things that they need to be on the lookout for to be able to be aware of people that are not walking the talk and following through?
I got it.
Hmm.
We talked in one of our earlier episodes. Listen to your gut
mm-hmm.
because there's truth and there's truth yeah, in your gut. True. And one thing that you said earlier, Chris. Is it's about trust,
mm-hmm.
right? So it makes me cycle back. Zach and I are huge fans of The Office. Michael Scott said something. He said business is always personal. It's the most personal thing in the world. I think that's the gist of the quote. But it's true. Like it was ridiculous at the time because it just in the situation. But if you peel it back, for me. Business is personal. Like it is a contract between one person and one person, whether this is a huge company or whatever, but it's between a person and a person. It is a personal contract.
Yes.
You are trusting this person to fulfill the item for this person. It is on teetering on this point. And this point is trust, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. Business is intimate. It's personal. It's you sit down in a meeting and you're sitting across from somebody. They're pitching you something. I got a good vibe from you. Okay, cool. I feel like I can trust you. That's what's mm-hmm. going through your head. I feel like I can trust this guy or this woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you get into further discussions and you look at contract and you're like, what? I trust you. I'm going to sign this contract. I trust that you're going to fulfill your part of the bargain. No matter what the contract says, you know, it's still you're signing with the intent that you trust that they're going to fulfill it. And I think that is one of my number one things is trusting your gut and mm-hmm. listening to what it's saying about this person, this relationship.
Again, it goes back to, I agree with what you're saying, Jason, because it goes back to what we were just saying just a minute ago. You can read people better than you think you can. Like everybody mm-hmm. can. You can read somebody and you can immediately go, this is going to work. This is not going to work. So Jason and I, that's one of the things that I feel like me and Jason are good at. And when we talk to a client, we get a vibe. And it's funny because like Jason and I have Slack and like we'll be in a meeting and we'll be messaging back and forth. And like, are you getting the same vibe I'm getting from this?
Like, does she actually believe what she's saying? Or does he actually believe? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You do it to me all the time when I'm on freaking your own lives. I'm like, how does he do this?
no, anyways. but it's, it, we, we do that. And it's one of those things where you, to answer your question, how can somebody, you'll know when you feel like something's off and there's a reason, and don't get into something or don't jump into something. If you still have that gut feeling that's like nagging you or going, gosh, there's something that doesn't feel right. But most people go, I'm going to push it to the side. I'm just going to do it anyway.
They're overreaching, right? I mean, they're trying to get to whatever. They have their own hidden agendas behind there. And that's something that I'm glad that you pulled that out of there, because that's exactly what my advice would be to people. It's like, look for the hidden agenda.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
What are they getting from this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And why are we even having this conversation to begin with?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
I think just slow down. Just slow down for a minute. I make decisions slow because I think it through before I, like, and my wife says it all the time. She's the
opposite of that.
I will sit back and I'll go, I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. Like, even a small purchase, I'll sit there and I'll think about, like, do I need it? Like, is there another way around it? Like, I slow down and I break it down and then I make the decision. And sometimes it's to my detriment. Sometimes there have been times where I've waited too long. So I think that is a strength and a weakness at the same time. Like, not to quote Michael Scott. It's like,
do 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 do.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, what am I better over the years?
Right. I've gotten better over the years, but I will say that there is benefit in just slowing down for a minute before you just dive right into it. Or you hear something, especially if you're an entrepreneur, if you hear something and you watch some coaching, if they're promising you all this stuff, take a minute, freemium. Slow down. Yeah. Go back and do some research. Just dig into it a little bit first.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, also looking at it through a lens of not a consumer, looking at it through a lens of an entrepreneur, of a person of, I would say, influence or a lack of influence with those types of individuals. Sometimes they're doing, look online and seeing how many times that another company is saying something very similar. And also when you're looking even at some of the landing pages and some of the content and even when people, and that's why when events or when podcasting really started to take over, right? Like come out, like really get really pretty popular. That you see a lot of these event speakers, they'll go into a lot of like, well, I'll talk about it just a little bit, but I talk more about it in my program. That lets me know exactly who you are. You're that lady. You're that guy, right? And I'm just telling
you. It's like when you go to the app store and you find this really awesome app, and then right beside where it says "get this app," it says in-app purchases. And you're like, crap.
Son of a bitch. Yeah, like,
yeah. You just showed me all of the stuff behind there. And now I'm not downloading it because I know I'm gonna want to buy it after a while. You know what I mean? Like, I need to stay away from this.
Right. I mean, I think that's also when you come into, and I don't want to obviously change the conversation to WinJet, because, you know, there's a lot of that there. And I think that's where, you know, us building, and you just as much as your community is just mine, because you've helped me obviously architect and put it all together. Right. Mm-hmm. Because there's certain times that you would, I mean, even Jason, he would make a comment, and then I'll go back and I'll think about that comment for a weekend, and I'll go, you know, I think he's probably, let me look at this angle. And then there's a whole other area of an opportunity right there. You know, but I didn't take action on things, and sometimes I wait around because there, you know, there is only amount of time where the opportunity of or angle for here will seize at some point, because, you know, now that everything is opening completely back up, you know, people are going to want to do more other things. So, I mean, that's how I see it, in my opinion. I mean, you're only getting to what is your type of, I guess you would say, clientele, or going to your customer avatar, and this is the people that you want to help. But if you're helping everybody, you're going to fail, bro.
Yeah.
You're trying to sell to everybody. Yeah. You can't sell to everybody. You know, that's impossible.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Agreed. I mean, that speaks to something we should probably talk about in the future is finding a niche. Cause yeah, I mean, you technically could offer something for everyone, but if you don't have like a strategy behind specific, you called it avatars, we call them personas, but like, if you don't have like a specific target that you're going after,
Sean Connery over there,
If you don't have a specific target, you're going after.
Oh, dude, this is great. You should have did the whole episode like that.
Yeah, if you don't have that person in mind, how can you build out a strategy behind it? How can you speak effectively to that person? You know, we have a client right now, and we sat down when they were launching their company. Yeah, we have a single client.
it's three, him, himself, and I.
Yeah. But like when we sat down with them, we were talking about clients. We're talking about client base, and we built out a myriad of personas around different specific customers. And then when we started the campaigns, we went after like three or something like that. And then we ran those for a couple of weeks. We looked at it, we tweaked it. And then we're like, you know what? We're seeing more traffic from this type of persona. So let's pivot and go. But we had all of this research and insight and planning built around those. And so it's just like, you turn the magazine and you have already all the ammo loaded and you're just firing head on. So, because all the planning was done, all the prep work was done, all the strategy was put into understanding who I was talking to.
It takes the guesswork out of it. Where there is marketing is a guessing game. Like, it just flat out, it is like you're guessing on what people are going to respond to. And at any minute it could shift. Okay. 100% could shift a complete 180. And that's what Jason's saying, that because we did some of that groundwork, we were able to test some things. And then once we saw a certain age group was responding to it more, we're like, we really thought this one was going to respond really well. But it turns out this one was, isn't it? Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, I expected something different to happen on that one. escalated quickly. You know what I mean? It's like, whoops.
Do you have a trident?
That happens.
Did you just have a trident?
Yeah.
He has a
hand. But anyways.
Yeah, no, that's great.
It's usually sometimes the ones that you put out and I feel more confidently about that never work.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
That didn't go the way I expected.
We talk about that in one of the episodes too, because we talk about how we were doing a branding campaign for somebody and we create all these logos and then they end up choosing the one you don't really like. You threw it in there anyway because it was something worst.
Right, like, yeah, I didn't mean to put that in there.
Oh, did that get in there? So I'm actually learning about the one option concept.
Did you send that branding to me, or did we both see it individually and not talk about it?
No, I sent it to you. We just hadn't talked about it, but we'll have to talk that on another show specifically for creators, because that one blew my mind, because I'm always in the mind frame of creating at least three, but Jason and I end up creating like 10, and we always make that joke with our clients, like, we put three in the contract, but it's real reality, you're gonna see like 10 episodes or 10 options.
Do you remember this conversation?
Give them one option and give them like five edits, is that something, or 10 edits?
Well, it's the what to Zach's method that he's talking about is we saw this designer, and she presents like one design with some alternate like layout variations, versions of that one design, but in a suite of like every implementation of it. So you actually can live with that see it.
Yeah. Here's what it'll like on a marketing campaign. Here's what it'll like on social media. Here's what it'll like on a billboard. Here's what it'll like on a TV commercial. Okay. Here's what it'll like on a water bottle. Here's what it'll like on a mug. And you're like, just on and on and on to the point where you see it so much that they go, I love this. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So well, they go, like, I don't want to see another one. This is it.
It makes me think years ago, I think I was still interning at this design place in college, and I was doing some work for a buddy of ours, a mutual friend, and it was free. Like, he was just like, hey, can you design some logos for this thing I'm doing? I was like, yeah. And so I think I gave him like five or six designs, and he had done like freelance work for other companies, and he's like our age, and he like sits me down and goes, Jason, now if you're gonna do this as a career, you need to get ready to present like 30 to 50 logos. Like 30 to 50 logos.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
And I was like, it was like one of those moments like we had when we were starting our company, and we were talking to that conference speaker who's like huge now. But like, it was one of those moments where I was like, well, he knows I was like, he does a lot of this work, so he must know. And I seriously like sat with that for a long time, and I felt so less than. And then I feel like years later, I mentioned it to Zach, and it was just a funny moment because I'm like, who on earth is submitting 50 logos to a company to pick from? It was asinine. It was ridiculous. And it's not something I've ever done or ever will do. But, you know, it's just one of those things where I trusted his opinion. Like, I thought he was the guy mm-hmm. to listen to, and he was not. He was just another Little person trying know. To figure it out just like everybody else.
Well, I see a lot of that with some event speakers or people that are in a predominant, I guess, situation or in a space, and they want to speak about everything.
Yeah.
I can't speak about it. I know how to fly a plane. I don't know how to land that sucker. You know what I mean? So it's it is what it
do
is.
You know how to build, do you know how to build a plane on in the air?
No.
Do you know how to do that?
That's what I have with you guys, right? Like, it's, you know what I mean? No. You helped me build a plane. I jumped out the window. You were building the plane on the way down. I figured it out, and I flew it off. Took it off. So
we're talking to you, Chris, and saying, no, let's build the plane on the ground. Then let's fly it.
No. but it's also, I mean, you have to look at also, just to kind of like reference the office I do. Well, here's my, you want my favorite moment of The Office, okay?
Yes.
Is when he's talking about, he's like, bros before hoes. And he's like, bros, always go with your bros because you always, you know, when your hoe rips your heart out. That's Michael Scott.
If she ain't your hoe, no mo.
Yeah, ain't no hoe, no mo. That's I love that show. I know it was also the second version of it because they have the UK version.
Yeah,
but they love to the correct me out here. I'm like, oh, the office is funnier. I'm like, no, not really. But
no, it's not.
Anyways,
you know, but what's funny is we were doing this banter, and this is what Jason and I thrive off of. On and if you like that, that's exactly what we do on Hustle Machine. I think you have a clip, right?
I do have a clip, and that was good. That was good that you did that because I was going to say it. I was like, one little.
I'm good at segues.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Not riding sideways, but just you see that one where Shaq's on the Segway, and he falls off of it. That's hilarious. Mm-hmm. You have to find it later. But
we'll say that and that's why I loved you guys on the Winjet TV's lives. And you don't even know what the hell you're talking about for the first 5 to 7 minutes. You know, you're just having a conversation.
We don't either.
You don't even say, hey, welcome to another episode. You'd be like, you're just like, hey, dipshit. And then you just start talking. And I think it's great. It's like, what did I just walk into?
Yeah, so, we had that comment yesterday or Wednesday.
Yeah,
they're like, what did I just walk into?
All right, guys, check out this clip. And if you're listening to this and you're not watching this, go to the website and watch the video. But this is pretty funny. Watch this.
I never saw an angel investor show up on my door. I didn't get any emails. I didn't get any phone calls. No voicemails. No texts. No faxes.
Hold on.
Check your email real quick.
I'm checking my spam. It's got to be in spam. It's probably in a LinkedIn like message that got lost somewhere.
Maybe they wrote a letter, but they forgot the address. And so it just ended up at the dead letter office? So it's sitting at the post office for 8 years now.
It's not a dead. Is there a dead letter office?
Yeah, that's a thing, right? Dead letter office. Excuse us, folks, while I Google dead letter mail. Yeah. The DLO is a facility within the postal system where undeliverable mail is processed. The dead letter office. Yep.
Wow. D-Lo. Is that J-Lo's sister?
Dad.
Dad Lopez.
Okay, I don't know what happened to the ending of this episode, but I think we should just... We've been rambling for 2 minutes now.
You never know what you're going to get.
Yeah. Fun fact, that was an episode about differentiators, and then we just ended up talking about the dead letter office, so...
That Daddy was some Loke. Funny
what's
stuff. Funny,
what's so funny is the light bulb hit us at the same time.
It's like, whoa, wait a minute.
Daddy Lopez. Yeah.
It's like, let me call the post office. It's a message in a bottle or some shit, you know?
Also, when that because we recorded that like a long time ago, it feels like. And then Jason, no, maybe it was my wife. She like listened to
it. Right.
She quoted it. And I was like, what are you talking about? And like I read it to Jason, he goes, yeah, you don't remember you saying that? I was like, I don't remember that at all. And then when he played it back, I was like, that's really funny. I don't remember that, but
yeah,
short-term memory loss.
That's freaking hilarious. Okay, so spent a lot of time today and got a lot of great information out of both of you, right? So this is, you know, not one of those things that people say towards the end of the shows. I'm obviously able to drive people through show notes to where you want to go, but I'm going to leave, I would like to leave everybody with one thing that you would like to leave them with each, right? And it doesn't have to be marketing. It could be just a personal vendetta and say, don't screw you, this person, you know, it doesn't really matter to me. Which one would you like to start and what would you like to share with listeners?
I'm totally going first.
Yeah. I would say no matter what it is in business, in your personal life, whatever part of your life you want to look at, find your joy and pursue that to its fullest. Mm-hmm. And for us, with Market House and with Hustle Machine, it's seeing businesses thrive. It's having fun conversations. It's getting to work with your best friend. It's getting to clock out, aww, you know, and go sit with your family. You know, one of the reasons I left my old job was to start this, obviously, but not because I didn't like that job. It's because I felt a calling to find joy for myself. It was to build this business, to build my illustration. And I feel like the last 2 years since I quit, almost two, has been in pursuit of joy. And I have been happier and more fulfilled and more successful in the last 2 years than in the, you know, 30 some odd years previous. So, find your joy and pursue it to its fullest. That's my advice.
Well, find your joy and pursue it. Well, you touch on, just to touch on that real quick, like, what do you think changed? As I guess, what was the biggest impact in your life from that change?
Well, first of all of the decisions were mine. It's really frustrating. We talked about it earlier. It's I speak my mind. I have a really, really hard time knowing that I'm right about something and not being listened to. It's really difficult for me. And because I feel like I always have this like resentment down the line when it turns out to be right. And I'm not right about everything, but when I have been correct about stuff, it's like this pit in my stomach. And I would rather own my wins and my failures completely than have resentment for not speaking up or having someone not listen to me. Like, I would rather own my whole life than have to ask for time off to get somebody to listen to me in a meeting, you know, whatever. Even as a director level, you know, it's not all you, right? You know? And so taking full ownership of finding my joy is that was the result. I owned everything. So I own my wins and I own my failures.
I love that. Just to touch on this, and this is a very powerful point to make, and just for the listeners out there to understand something, you know how to get somebody to listen to you? Stop talking. Stop talking. At some point, they'll be like, Chris, you haven't said much today. It's because you're an idiot. You know what I mean? So, you know, I mean, that's one way to get someone's attention, right? Stop giving people what they don't want. You know, I mean, I think that, congratulations on that, Jason. I mean, that's a massive, I guess, understanding that these are all your decisions and choices. Like, I'm going to own this shit. This is mine. Yeah. And live with the repercussions. Yeah.
Who's it? Jocko that talks about extreme ownership?
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
That's what it is.
All right. Yeah. This guy's up now. This guy over in the right hand corner.
You know what I did? You know what I did? I just was quiet.
You shut up.
Because you guys are idiots. No, just kidding. mine would be summed up in really simple. Don't give up, because there's a lot of entrepreneurs who get into this rut and they give up and they're like on the cusp of something great. And they just say, I can't do this anymore. And that happened with Jason and I. There was a 5-year period where we hit, and sorry, I got the alarm going off. We hit a 5-year mark, and I was like, Jason, 5 years, dude, high five. And he goes, yeah. I just don't want to be doing a side hustle for the next 5 years. And so for anybody listening out there, I would say don't give up, because you don't know what's going to happen on the other side. And if it's your passion, like, to piggyback on Jason's side, on what Jason just said, if you're passionate about it, keep going. No matter what everybody says, you can't make money off this, you're going to fail. Show them wrong.
I got a lot of these people watching me right now throwing banana peels and shit at TVs, but you know what I mean? They're like, going to make them eat it. But yeah, that's a powerful point. Yeah. I mean, so when you mentioned, you know, don't give up, like what are some key indicators that maybe potentially they're getting closer to the outcome that they don't even know that what's going to actually happen? What are some things that getting for them to, yeah, go ahead.
A lot of criticism. You'll start to get a lot of negativity thrown your way. And you're like, okay, I might be on to something. You might not be, but you might be. And
you might be polishing that turd even harder.
But right. Yeah, it's like, man, you'd be like, you get the most resistance. I'm telling you, that's really sound advice, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, you're getting so much resistance and so much force coming at you and trying to prevent you. You might be on to something. I mean, even for sometimes, I talked about this in Mark Jenkins' episode when I went on his show, The Anabolic Mind. He was asking me, you know, people, like, why do they want to live in mediocrity? I'm like, well, if that's meant for you, then it's meant for you, right? I mean, it doesn't really matter to me. But sometimes you putting all this work, the people sleeping right next to you, the people that are closest to you are secretly wanting you to fail and creating scenarios to trip you up because it's an attachment style for them. They're holding on to you. It's control. They don't want to see you really win that much, right? And you're then go to, you know, Zach's point. When you're pushing as hard as you can and you know that you're going to get to that outcome, sometimes you have to take a step back and just release, right? And go, I measure and reassess all the results. I have to, but then that kind of gives me another point to where I take my emotions out of it, if that makes sense. So,
sure. Yeah.
That's powerful.
Yeah, I got one more.
Okay. I'm excited. Get bonus today. Get bonus.
It's two words. You ready?
Go Braves.
Go Dogs.
Oh, I didn't wear the hoodie.
I didn't wear the hoodie.
Oh, you left that for last. Why didn't you tell me that? I went, man. Okay. So next live. All right. Well, where I come on your show, I don't know if you guys are interviewing. Are you guys interviewing? Is that the next thing? Yeah.
So yeah, we will be. Yeah.
We'll do that. When I get to Atlanta,
we had a podcast once before. Where we started out just me and Jason, and then it ended up being nothing but interviews, and it was exhausting. So I don't know if we'll do just a ton of interviews, but we will be doing interviews.
Yes. I've kind of taken my foot off the gas, to be honest with you, the Winman Effect, and just for everyone out there, just reference. I mean, the reason why I'm doing a monthly show is just the last little piece of this, and obviously moving on to other different things that I have going on. I got the after show host thing with Jess Lee stuff coming up. I got a lot of things. I mean, don't think that I'm just like fading into the black. I got a lot of shits popping off, but like me doing interviews and whatnot. I love interviews, but there's only so much we can talk about online. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's like, it's redundant. Sure. I'm like, I go right now. I can go and Google, like, I don't know, interviews and, you know, for podcasting and people are talking about the same bullshit. Like, no, I don't want to be that guy, you know? Yeah. Yeah. So and that's why I appreciate your banter on your show. I love it. If you haven't listened to their show, now's the time, Mother Truckers. Hustle Machine Podcast. Go find them, man. Yeah.
And wait, that's so we confirm that on your next win-win effect, you're gonna get Dabo and Dabo. You're gonna wear the Georgia hoodie when you
interview. I thought you were talking about my cat Dabo. My cat's name's Dabo, Sir Dabo. Anyways, but yeah, I'll get Dabo. Get a hoodie.
You need to change your cat's name to Kirby.
Kirby? Like, you're set up like a loser. I don't know. Dabo might leave, bro. You know what I mean? I think he's out. Anyways, but
oh yeah.
All the more reason to wear a Georgia hoodie in the interview.
Right. And you know what? I see that also Deshaun Watson went to the Browns. That was a stupid pick. I thought the Falcons for sure were gonna pick him up.
No,
here you go. He's like, I'm done with this interview. See that?
Jason's like, I'm out, man.
Jason said, all right, guys, peace out, motherfuckers. I'm out. Anyway, so thank you so much for coming on. And I really appreciate our friendship. And also, you know, a lot of things will be coming up here soon. There he is. I thought you left us, bro. Sure. What happened?
My Chrome crashed. I was like, no.
I thought we were just making a joke. I'm not going to have them make this edit because I think it's hilarious. But it was like, Jason's just like, I'm out. Fuck you guys.
The timing was great.
George Costanza from Seinfeld, he leaves on a high note. I had reached the pinnacle of where we could talk in that show, and I was like, I'm done. That's how I'm going to leave every meeting from now on. I don't say goodbye. I just close the call.
Please don't do that.
What happened? That's one way to have people reach out to you. Are you okay? You're like, I'm not being listened to. I'm just going to hang up. Yeah. Anyways, but guys, I appreciate it. Peace out. Much love, guys. Go to Hustle Machine Podcast. Consume it on whatever you like to consume podcasting. Right. Go to the Win-Win Effect. You'll find it in the show notes, and you just click the little button. You'll find them. It's not too hard to find. Peace out. Much love.
Bye, guys.
This broadcast is brought to you by WinCheck Studios. We are an all-in-one educational platform for podcasters that revolutionizes how hosts leverage content to increase engagement with listeners, downloads, and income. We come together to focus on community, collaboration, and collective impact. For more information on how you can interact directly with our hosts, access exclusive live content with offers you can't get anywhere else from our official partners, join our purpose-driven community by visiting www.winject.com. If you're ready to build a career doing what you love, then we're ready to see you there.